accession number 19660, Reel 4.
Bill Harvey, Reel 4.
Votes. Actually, her mother was blown into the fireplace. So she was taken to hospital for a checkup. Her husband was upstairs, the bedroom. He was blown downstairs, and they took him to hospital. So there's a pair of them landed in hospital. Besides my future wife, I wasn't married to her then. I was courting her. And she was the first casualty on the list there. And I think there was 13 casualties from just from Lonsborough Street. I think it's Mona Terrace.
You said it was Guy's Terrace.
Well, Guy's Terrace then, yeah. It'd be Guy's Terrace then, yeah.
Do you have any more Hull Blitz memories?
No, because I wasn't here when the main Blitz was on. I was stationed, as you know, I was stationed at Driffield that time. Did I go off that?
You've mentioned that.
Yeah. But this was from Swanland. I was stationed at Swanland then. When this night, they were bombed out, should we say.
How did public morale stand up in Hull to the bombing?
The people, well, they just had to stand up to it, didn't they? They had nowhere else to go, actually. There was shelters, but they wouldn't go in the street shelters for some reason. They wouldn't use them. Because I think several shelters were hit in near the fish dock area. And they seemed to just stopped in the house. But this happened to be just one lone German bomber. It was on its own, and the sirens hadn't gone, you see, and I realised I was outside walking at the time. And my wife-to-be was in the sitting room. As I said before, I think I said before, she was blown right back into the kitchen, small kitchen right at the back. And I threw myself in between, in the gutter, more or less, because I had nowhere else to go when I heard the swish. As soon as I heard the swish, I knew it was somewhere around. It was coming near, which it was pretty near, and it landed practically in the centre of the terrace and brought all the houses down both sides, the blast.
So nobody used street shelters?
The alarm hadn't gone. The sirens hadn't gone at all. They went after the bombs had dropped.
No, but talking generally, people didn't use the street shelters in Hull.
Oh, yes, they used them. This is later on. I was still in the service, you see, then. Oh, yes, they used them. But a lot of them, the alarm had gone. When the main Blitz were on, they were in the shelters. And they just stood there and chatted away to each other and just wait for the inevitable, whether they bombed out or not.
But you said some people preferred to stay in the houses rather than...
Some of them did stay in the house. They had little Anderson shelters. Do you remember those? They used to fit under the table, I think. It was just a metal frame. And some of them had those in, because you couldn't put the little tin shelters, do you know, what were they? But they were Anderson shelters, weren't they?
No, they were Morrison shelters.
Morrison shelters, that's right. Yeah. And the Anderson shelters were the ones that was inside the house, I think. It was a metal frame, it was. Just a metal frame.
I think the Morrison shelter was in the house and the Anderson shelter was in the garden.
The Anderson shelters were the U-type
In the garden.
Little thing you picked up in the garden, yeah, and filled it up with, dug it in, really. They were very useful, those, weren't they? Very, you know, I think it saved several lives. If the house was hit, they were saved the lives, although they blasted.
Now, can we go back to your own story? Because you told me before how shocked you were at being transferred to the Pioneer Corps.
That's right.
What happened to you then?
I went down to an RE camp, which was just outside Stratford-on-Avon. I'm trying to think the name of the place now. Oh dear. No, not up Haverford, no.
Might come back to you later anyway.
Yeah, probably come back later on, yeah. And, well, what it was, it was a big storage dump. And we were attached to the engineers there, funny enough. And we're extending all the railway fitting sidings, you know, make extensions on them, because it used to go right through this camp down there. It was just outside, not far from Stratford-on-Avon, about 18 miles from Stratford-on-Avon. It's still in use today, I think. It's an engineer's site.
So was it digging work?
Pardon?
Was it digging?
Oh, we're doing all sorts. Railway, mostly extending the railways. Because it had a railway right through the camp, you see. It must have had a connection from the outside lines. And we were doing different points. We were building up, mostly, for stores and all like that. It was only a hatted camp. But we were under canvas, funny enough. With their extension, putting an extension on the whole camp area, such as the railway and the building Nissenuts and all sorts like that, you see. And we were working with the engineers.
Did that last very long?
I imagine it lasted about 8 months, something like that. And then I was stationed till just outside Birmingham, Paddy Bar. We're in private houses there. And we were called upon if we wanted anywhere to work with the engineers. We're mostly a pioneer battalion, you see.
Do you know what number it was?
No, I don't. No, I can't recall it, no. And from there, I was taken to hospital for some reason. I think I collapsed. I was taken to a hospital, which was just outside Paddy Bar. It's more in the Birmingham here area, you see. Or Bromsgrove. Bromsgrove was the hospital, I think. Bromsgrove Hospital, yeah. It's just outside Birmingham, isn't it? Bromsgrove, somewhere around there. And
what did you collapse with?
Yeah. Well, I was collapsed with exhaustion. Anyhow, I was on all tests and whatnot from there. And they said that I had a murmur in my heart, you know. I still get it. I had one the other night, funny enough. And, you know, I went right stiff. And when it gone stiff, I caught my heel here. I marked it with my toenail and put the skin on, you know. It was just my mentally. I was asleep. And all this, I felt myself, it woke me up, you see. I knew what it was. It's just what you get, and you mentally black out. And that just, you know, it's funny, I've had several. But I've just ignored it. I haven't told my doctor, but they know I've got a heart murmur. I think because they told me in hospital, last time I was in hospital.
Did they treat you for it?
Well, I was having treatment, and they call it kind of a neurosis. something like that, you see. And that's where I got my discharge from there.
Discharge from the army?
Yeah, I got discharged from the army from
there. Do you know which year that was?
Yeah, it was 43. Early 43.
How did you feel about being discharged from the army?
I was very upset. Very upset.
So what did you do?
Well, when I got so much leave, I had a month's leave, apparently, and till my discharge papers came through and all like that. And what I did, I got a job as a driver at Reckitt's here.
In Hull?
Yeah. Then I went to recruiting office, I thought I'd try and get in again, back in again, you see. And he said that you can, for what you said, like, you could do, we need somebody for training, you know, the troops, like. I was going in Marine Commandos down Portsmouth at the time.
You volunteered for them, you mean?
Yeah. But apparently, when I came to the medical, they wouldn't have me. They said, no, you're medically unfit. They must have seen me documents or something. So I got sent back home again.
Was the war still on?
Yes. Oh, yes, the war was still on. So the only thing I could join was fire watching, and which the firm had that. So I was continually on fire watching until the end of the war. I was in Reckitt's building when it was bombed, actually.
Can you describe that?
Pardon?
Can you describe it?
Yeah, they just sloped over and dropped, and they hit the sawmill in Reckitt's. Where I was in where they store the blue, which was under the ground, more or less. We're just running around and try to put fires out. With small fire, there's small fires around, just running around trying to put fires out on them.
Where were the premises? Whereabouts? Which street?
In Damson Lane. Damson Lane.
Was it day or night?
Night time. During the night. I used to do about 3 nights a week, fire watching. That was for the firm mostly, all the firm's premises. Because I used to sometimes go to the Statch depot there. There was another bomb and raid that night. But they mostly got there. I think it was the margarine place where they used to make margarine right on the corner of the bridge. I think they were after the old bridge, the old Chapman Street bridge. But they hit them right on the end there.
Were there casualties at Reckitt's?
At Reckitt's? Not to my knowledge, no. Not to my knowledge.
Do you know which year this was?
Pardon?
Do you know which year this was?
It'd be 44. Or 43, 44. The end of 43 to 44, something like that.
What did the fire watching involve?
Well, you were just there. If the alarm went on, then you just stood around. Anything was hit, like, you just try and put it out. Mostly for firebombs, you know, they were dropping a lot of firebombs at the time. And they had their own fire brigade there as well, and on the premises, different areas of the premises they were on, you see, until the main, what's the name's going there, because when I wasn't on one night, because they hit the main building, didn't they? Reckitt's main building got hit, what we call the Brasso area. Brasso area got hit. All these things just come as mementos,
What did their fire brigade consist of?
Pardon?
What did their fire brigade consist of?
All volunteers. They're all volunteers.
What equipment did they have?
Oh, they had... mostly, they didn't have their own fire brigade. They had the hoses. They had the hoses all stationed in different places, you see, and they just switch on the hoses to different areas and used to whatever area it was, you see, if they could deal with it. If they couldn't deal with it, of course, the main fire people out there were down there in no time.
Were you happy in the job at Reckitt's?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Was this fire service at Reckitt's just a wartime thing, or did they have
it's
it
a war? I think it's a wartime thing, yeah. It was for the, you know, anything happened where they could get into anything like that and pull the place apart, whatever it was, and just see that the fires are out.
Were you in Reckitt's till the end of the war?
Yes. Yes, I was. Yes. Till the end of the war. And then I left. And I think they had the Lord Mayor's show. And my vehicle was one of them that went on the Lord Mayor's show. This was after the war, when the Lord Mayor's show just started again. I imagine that'll be in 48, 49, something like that. Yeah, I've spent about 7 years at Reckitt's, from 43.
Did you then go back into the army?
No, I left Reckitt's for the simple reason I was what you call a loader on one of the wagons, you see, and the driver was on bonus and I wasn't. So I went to see the manager and see if I couldn't get on bonus the same as the driver, because I'm doing the same sort of work. I used to drive if the driver didn't turn up in the morning, so I used to take a vehicle, you see. I could drive, you see. And but if I was just with the driver, working with him, when we were loading, you know, loading stuff. He was on bonus, and I wasn't. So I went to see, I think it's Mr. Norfolk, that was his name, who was the transport manager. And he said he'd see what he'd do. Well, I waited about two weeks, a month, and nothing happened. So I just gave me notice in for that reason. But I had another job to go to. And the job was with the TA, because they reformed the TA in 1947, weren't they? They reformed the TA, you see. Because everybody was stood down after the war. They were all stood down and just went back to the normal workings after the war. And when Anthony Eden decided to restart the TA again, there was different units, you see, and I were put in for the Royal Engineers para unit, you see, which then at the time was 299 Squadron in Hull. They formed a squadron in Hull, a squadron in Doncaster, a squadron, you know, in all around the Yorkshire area, actually, to make regiment and engineers, which consisted of 131 Airborne Regiment, 131 Royal Engineers. And from there I got the TA, as they were reforming the TA again, they wanted a storeman driver. And Mr. Barron was in charge of the, not Walton Street, Lonsford Street, it was the other barracks, Wenlock. His stores were in Wenlock. Apparently his storeman was very ill, and I knew him, like, with working, with the, you know, being in the TA. And so I got the job, a storeman driver. Civilian, mate, civilian storm driver. Well, I stuck that job for 10 years. But at the end of the day, I went to with me regiment, 9th Squadron. They wanted to storm and drive. Well, I thought, I'm right on top, it's near me home, you know, because I only lived not in Lonsford Street, it was near Portland Street. I was living in the house there, you see, around there. Reference to the wall again, I was blown up a couple of times. you know, I sort of survived it. I wasn't injured.
Can you tell me when you were blown up in the war?
In the war? Yes, mostly that was in France. In Belgium, sorry. That was in Belgium. Well, I've already said that, haven't I?
Yes, you told me how you were wounded with the BEF. Is that what you mean?
That was coming from Dunkirk, you mean? Yes.
But you say you were blown up.
I was blown up before that. I think I'll also put that down. I think you've got that in there.
So, if you were with the Royal Engineer Paras, did you have to learn to be a parachutist? Did you have to do parachute jumps?
Oh, yes.
Whereabouts did you do that?
I don't know. I went to a medical first, and the medical was Dr. Science, who lived right opposite the hospital, you know, Annanby Road Hospital.
That was his,
well, you have to pass a doctor before you can get in, you see. And I passed him. I didn't mention nothing about me discharged from the army, although they knew I was discharged from the army. But they accepted me, you see. And then when I got sent on a para course, I did my para course. And, of course, I enrolled in the 299.
Where did you do the parachute training?
I did parachute from beginning, 299, when they first started.
But whereabouts in England did you do it?
Doing my training in Hull, most of it in Hull, and then you go down to Aldershot to do your para course. Not Aldershot, Upper Hayford, which just opened as a new school, which came from what they call the Manchester Airport, the old Manchester Airport.
Ringway,
that's right. Well, they closed Ringway, and most of the stuff went to Upper Hayford. That was in 1947-48.
How did you get on with parachute jumping?
All right. I passed my course. Did my course. I did four drops from the balloon. You do one through the aperture, you will do one from the side, and you do one for the queen. What they call it, would be the king then, wouldn't it? 47, he died, didn't he?
King. No, he died in 52.
Well, did he? I was at 52. Oh. And one for the king, and the rest are all aircraft drops. And the Dakotas. All Dakotas. Didn't have any other aircraft. That's when I had a trip around in gliders up at Upper Hayford at the aerodrome there. They were old horse gliders. They had about three there, I think. You volunteered to go up, actually. You didn't have to. But I'm a terror for anything like that, you know. I was all for it. So I went up in a couple of times in a glider. You're only in a net, you know, you sit in a net in the glider. And we used to have, because although it was, they stopped all gliderborne, didn't they, after the war. Just that, as soon as the war was over, they stopped all parachuting for a time. And then they restarted again, you see, at Upper Hayford.
What's this net you sit in a glider?
Pardon?
What is this net that you sit in?
Well, when you sit down, when you come into a crash, when you come in, you always crash land, in other words. You just pull this net round you. It's fastened across, you see, with a strap. You see, and then you just sort of roll yourself up when they come in to land.
So the net is to brace you?
Yes, to break the fall, yeah. To break the fall, in case anything falls off, you know, because the wings are made to fall off halfway, they snap off, you see, for any obstacles in the road. But on the aerodrome, it was clear running, actually.
So you also did this at Upper Hayford as well?
Pardon? Yes. Yeah. It was just to try to see what they were like. And they were being told by the American aircraft, Dakotas. You know, all Dakotas, actually. We had no... I don't think we had many RAF planes for jumping out of. I've jumped out of Valletta. I've jumped out of the Hastings. I've done numerous jumps in the Dakotas. I've parachuted from the Beverleys. And numerous balloon jumping. We used to do balloon jumping. We used to go to Leeds for the balloon jumping. We have jumped at Beverley from a balloon. We parachuted from helicopter at Warne. On the old aerodrome there, go up in a helicopter and jump out from the helicopters, four of you jump out. And I've done numerous, and I also did exhibition drop at Bluff. That was when me and Fred Green on one shoot. I'd just finished my course, actually, I think. I think it was just, and there's a sort of air display there at Bluff. I think it was the first air display they'd had, which continued from after the war, you see. And we jumped from Dakotas, we're in the old engineers, what is that, life support, life belts, old engineers one, because they didn't have no, the ones that goes round your neck, you know, just went round your belly. And, as I was coming down, me and the other fellows, my chute developed, we jumped close with it being a small aerodrome, but it was only a small place. And I think we were about 10 yards off the riverside. Although there's a boat standing by in case we dropped in the river there. We just jumped on, landed on the mud, bit of mud patch, that was all. For some reason, he came down, he threw my rigging lines. We couldn't untangle, and it's only, you were only on one chute, you see, you didn't have two chutes those days. And I said, why the hell don't you look where you're going, Dadgy? I used to call him Dadgy, you see. He's a full corporal, actually. And, yeah, sorry, Billy, he said, I didn't see you. So I said, never mind, let's see what happens first. Leave your rigging lines, because actually the chute didn't go through my rigging lines, because mine was fully developed and his was developed, you see. So more or less we came down on my chute. He didn't jump anymore after that. He won't parachute anymore. After that episode I did, I carried on. I was parachuting for 23 years while I was with the TA unit.
So, did you go abroad to serve with the RE Paris?
Yes.
Where did you first go abroad?
We went to Cyprus. We've been to Germany. We've been to France. All on different courses, just on training. Training courses, mostly. Parachuting.
Did you see any active service with the RE Paris?
Yes, in Cyprus. And Aden. Which I told you about that. I think I told you about Aden, didn't I?
No,
it wasn't recorded, was it? No, we got 7 wounded and 2 killed.
When were you in Aden?
Well, I can't tell you the...